Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 697 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles, joined today by JD Raider in his favorite, his best, this is his Sunday best Harley shirt.
It's true.
And slick back hair, lives for New Year's Eve. Love sloppy steaks. Ben Askren, what's going on, buddy?
Sloppy steaks. I never heard that
slop
one.
Slop them up.
Slop them up, buddy.
Dude, I imagine it's like a big old porterhouse with a lot of fat on it. Or
and water. You just pour water on it.
And then you eat as much as you can before they kick you out.
It's from a show. From I Think You Should Leave.
I don't watch shows. How am I supposed to know that?
I know. That's what made it kind of funnier. Okay. So we're all here. We got 51 things to get to on this show. Very, very exciting stuff here. So let's start with the big news. What is going on at Northwestern? So item one, Carter Young is transferring from Northwestern to Oklahoma State. Now, it's interesting because, you know, the last kind of spring and summer, you're like, how did this kid get out of Stillwater? And then he goes and balls out at World Team Trials. And Andy Hamilton is like, how the heck did this kid get out of Stillwater? And so I talked to...
They don't usually get out of Stillwater. It's pretty rare.
No, they don't. I mean, forget Stillwater.
Yeah, even out of the whole state of Oklahoma.
Let's talk Oklahoma. I mean, apart from Tate Piccolo, who's the last blue chip guy to get out of the state or to get out of Oklahoma State's grasp? You know,
because Tate Piccolo went to OU and his dad went there, so it's obvious. But yeah, I mean, we go many, many years back. Now, Jordan Williams committed to Missouri, so that's another one.
Are you sure about that?
He did not.
Listen, I saw it on Instagram.
No. He put up a bunch of schools on Instagram. You didn't swipe, maybe?
I didn't swipe.
Missouri wasn't even the first one, for the record.
I don't even follow Jordan Williams. Maybe Instagram just knows what I like, and I go through the search feature, and boom, Missouri.
Okay.
There we go.
Let's not get too distracted by where he did not commit
to. Keep going. Sorry.
Carter Young is, after a great, great performance, I talked to him, and I said, hey, man, what's going on? How'd you get so good? And he credited Northwestern multiple times. He's like, basically, I've been there all summer training with Chris Cannon, Ryan Deacon, being coached by Jimmy Kennedy, and now I'm really, really, really good instead of just really good. And then we talk a little bit more about it, and it's like, hey, you made a choice that, you know, surprised a lot of people when you went to Northwestern. He talked about, you know, right fit for him, coaches, et cetera, et cetera. Then a little bit later, I asked him in the interview about, hey, what's going on? And he once again talks about why he chose Northwestern. So he's very clearly committed to and enjoying his time at Northwestern and feels really strongly about the development going on there. Fast forward to like Friday, he's in the portal and he's gone and he's going to Oklahoma State. So what the heck happened? Is it like you know, the theories are all out there. Like, well, was it just some revisionist choice from Oklahoma State and they just got involved, blah, 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 and now they reached out? I was like, no, it doesn't sound like it was anything like that. It comes down to this. Jimmy Kennedy, who he credited for much of his development, alongside Andrew Howe, another assistant in Northwestern, two coaching hammers and former amazing wrestlers, they are very likely going to be terminated by the university. They have not, I know it was maybe put out there yesterday that they were fired. They've not been fired at this point, but Coach Kennedy and Coach Howe will not get the vaccine. Northwestern has a very clear policy that they outlined in May or June that says all students and faculty have to have the vaccine or you can't be on campus. You can't do the thing. So now this is all coming to a head because as Carter Young said in the interview last week was like the Wildcat week, which was like school hadn't started yet or whatever. So this like the first day of class was like yesterday. So this is all coming to a head as far as when the students and when the faculty have to have the thing. And Jimmy Kennedy and Andrew Howe do not believe it's right for them to have to get the vaccine, and they're not going to do it. They are not going to get the vaccine. So now there's like this staring contest or game of chicken, I don't know what you want to call it, between the university and these coaches. What are they going to do?
Are they the only two coaches in the whole athletic department?
So I asked about that. Like, hey, how
the whole
rare
school for that matter? Because there's teachers.
Yeah, for the faculty, for the staff, for the how common is this Kennedy Howe situation? Are there people that? And it seems like they are really sort of on an island here. There's not some faction behind them of other faculty members or coaches. It's kind of them. So, at least that's how it seems, and that's how it seems from people at Northwestern at the university. So. They're kind of on an island, which I don't know if that helps them or hurts. I mean, I feel like it hurts them because they're not like a football. If they were the football team, it'd probably be a big deal because that's a big deal at the university. But two assistant coaches at wrestling, and the wrestling team's good, but you know it's not some huge revenue generator for the university. So I don't know, but I think they're waiting to see, will they really fire them? Will they really fire these guys for not getting the vaccine? So I don't know if it's a game of chicken or what it is, but they're still working through the process. They haven't been fired yet. But the bottom line is Carter Young said, "What? My coaches are not going to be there. I'm gone." And he went back to Oklahoma, and he's going to be a Cowboy. And I think it makes sense. It makes more sense now than and you know back. Then it's like, hey, is there going to be some overlap with this guy? Is he going to be a 33 with Dayton and Mastro? Maybe it doesn't make sense. But in my interview, he says, I think I'm probably a 41. Well, if you think you're a 41, well, shucks, that works out pretty good for Oklahoma State. Yeah. Not to mention the fact that he's got a red shirt to play with all the eligibility concerns. And the fact that
him and Dayton Vic grew up training together. I mean,
they grew up training together from Sand Springs to Stillwater. And now... this. So Zoe, one of the RTC coach, the Cowboy Wrestling Club coach, has worked with Carter for a long time as well. So it's, as far as a wrestling decision, it makes sense. But when I tweeted about, you know, Carter leaving and kind of some of the surprises, it's like I wanted to make a point to say there's something else going on here. This is before I knew about the Kennedy stuff, but this is not a wrestling related decision. And Northwestern has kind of been. I don't know if they're snake bit. I don't know what it is. But you look at the – and maybe we need to put pause there. And before we move on to like the some of the athletes that have left and not gone to Northwestern, maybe just pause on the Kennedy Howe situation. Because it's a huge story. It's brutal for Northwestern. And I'm wondering how many other coaches are in this situation. I haven't heard of any others, but – you have to imagine they are not the only two college coaches that are not vaccinated.
That would be, yes, I would agree with that. And I don't know how many institutions are actually making people do it. I mean, I got to think Northwestern is not the only one. Obviously, there was a Cornell issue.
Yeah.
Very unfortunate that they get mandated to do this. It's no good. It's so political that you're going to be 100% one way or 100% the other. It sucks. And
one other thing. they tried to get the religious exemption, Andrew and Jimmy. Apparently wrong religion, because no religious exemption for them. So you have to have a certain religion to not get the shot. So that's unfortunate.
Really? Which one?
I don't know. Whatever one they are does not pass the vaccine.
You keep it a secret.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't want to harp on this too much, but the science is not all the way out yet. I mean, the FDA committee just had a discussion on whether taking the vaccine outweighs the negative heart effects for men taking the vaccine under the age of 40. And so it's like even the FDA is still going back and forth on what the actual real answer here is. And so for guys to lose their job over this is really unfortunate.
Yeah, I agree. I think, yeah, I mean, listen, I got the shot, whatever. I wasn't really that fired up about it, but I did it just because my freaking brother yelled at me. And that was good enough for me. And I don't care. I don't feel that at risk, but I think it's a massive overreach to say you have to do it.
Yeah.
Then again, all my
remember
kids
like in 20 freaking... in 2019 when they, you know, like other people's health was their own business and we didn't, there was that thing where you can't even know what procedures
been a big thing
people
for
had.
A while.
Yeah. I mean,
there's HIPAA laws.
True, but not, I mean, it's all out the window anymore.
It's all out the
some
window.
Vaccines to, like, into school?
Yeah,
you can go to school.
Yeah, but Ben, I'm sure you had to have some vaccines to go to Missouri for any college. You certainly did to go to kindergarten. So it's not a new phenomenon.
And yes.
You know, all our kids have probably been vaccinated. But here's the other interesting wrinkle of all of the COVID stuff. COVID is going to still have a huge, and this is no surprise, but it's going to have a huge impact on the college wrestling season. There are many, many teams with large percentages of their teams, the wrestlers, do not have the vaccine. Anywhere from some teams 15%, some teams 50, some teams maybe more, many teams less. Their guys are not vaccinated. The athletes are not vaccinated. And so what does that mean?
So many of them had it last year, and it's pretty crazy to acknowledge that natural immunity is not even being acknowledged in the slightest bit anymore. And on top of that, if you look at healthy 18 to 20-year-old males, not meaning no pre-existing conditions, meaning they're actually in really good shape, they're not obese, the effect on them is negligible.
Right. So looking at some of the, what are the impacts of not being vaccinated versus being vaccinated as an athlete? So if you get contact traced and are not vaccinated, you're automatically out 14 days. So 14 days, if you get contact traced, which that means I sat next
to hold
JV
on, hold
class.
On, hold on. Are you sure this is true? Because now in my daughter's school last year, she actually somehow didn't get contact traced one time all last year. We were in person. This year, no masks in person. And we might be in the Wild West out here. And if they get contact traced, they let you know, but you don't have to stay home unless there's symptoms. Okay, so like last week, for example, they're like, Alex was potentially in a class with someone who got corona. Please watch out for symptoms, but she can still come to school.
Yeah, well, I don't think.
For example. So that's not the case.
It's not your daughter's school.
Well, here's what I'm saying here. The point I'm making, Christian, is the rules between contact tracing last year and this year are significantly different.
Well, not maybe at your daughter's school, but at these universities, it is different or the same, I guess you could say. So if you are not vaccinated, this is a fact. This is the rule. And I don't know if it's a rule for every university, but it is a rule for at least a university. And I think it is across the board. You're out 2 weeks if you're just contact trace. But if you are vaccinated, you do not have to sit out. So I'm vaccinated. I sit next to JD. JD contact trace. I'm cool. I'm not vaccinated. I sit next to JD. He's cheating off my test. And I'm out 2 weeks because he's a cheater. Can you believe that?
I thought people with the vaccine could still get it, though.
They can't. Listen, man. Are you asking for – I'm explaining the rule. Don't try to look for logic in a lot of these situations. It doesn't make sense
logic.
At all.
I love logic.
Well, you might not like some of the times we're going through now. So it's going to have a huge impact. These teams are like, okay, I want my guys to get vaccinated so we freaking don't have guys. I mean, everything we were talking about, you know, is still on the table, right? We were talking about this all last year. Like, if someone gets popped right at Big Tens, they're out for Big Tens and NCAAs, right? Well, this many guys are not vaccinated, so these teams are, like, pulling their hair out, saying, okay, how do I get these guys to get vaccinated? But I can't make them. You can't make them get vaccinated. So, you know, these coaches are obviously very stressed about that. And it'll be a storyline. It'll be kind of the boogeyman over the season as you kind of hold your breath. These teams are going to be holding their breath.
Yeah, we felt the effects. Nikki, push-ups, Vito, we have felt the effects of people missing, and I'm sure it's not the end. That being said, let's talk about who's number one. There's too much Corona talk, and we're not experts. Well, and I just want to get off it.
I mean, it's a huge topic, and it's going to be a huge topic. I think also we could start to see certain schools that like don't allow, you know, their athletes to compete against unvaccinated.
Oh my athletes. God! Damn.
I don't think that can be true. I mean, there's no football.
Full Israel, Iran.
That's crazy. I mean, that how are they going to be able to do that?
Trying to create second class citizens and violating HIPAA laws. Yeah, tremendous.
Yeah, I don't think it's good. I mean, there's no football situation where that's happened, and not every like Big Ten to Big Ten. There's several Big Ten teams that are not mandating the vaccine. There are several Big Ten teams that are. So how could that happen in football? Not happen in football, but happen in wrestling. I don't think that's going to be. I don't think that can be the case, but we will see.
It's just something I'm worried
about.
That would be
a very scary place that America's gotten to if that would be the case.
And thinking about Northwestern, I just think it's just bad luck because the team is good. The wrestlers are good, right? But look at this list of transfers. Stefan Micic, Sebastian Rivera, Jason Sirtis, NCAA champion, now Carter Young, even going back to Johnny Sebastian. And then their snake bit with Bryce Brill, who's a huge recruit and always hurt. Same, and Lee Munster didn't pan out. And then they had flip commitments from Michael Beard, Anthony Cassiope, Nick Renan. You know,
and so the other reason why this is super relevant to, is specifically to Northwestern. And I was actually just thinking, doing some stump grinding yesterday. I was saying how good we don't really know how good of a coach Matt Storniolo is. He might be a really, really, really elite coach, but he's getting the shaft here with some of these things happening because their roster cap is only like 25. And so if you're thinking, it's not like you can bring in 40 guys and develop and then one guy leaves and you got a guy right behind him like some of these schools do. Mm-hmm. If you spend all this time and effort developing a person and then they leave, you essentially have to start again from scratch because you can't bring in the extras. You know, like some schools do and like you should if you want to be an elite university.
Yeah, I mean, I think Storniolo is a good coach. I think he is a good coach. I think his development is great. And you look at, I mean, Rivera was better at Northwestern. At least last year, Sebastian Rivera compared to the years before, he just was better. So I don't, you know, I think he's developed guys really, really well. I think he's gone through some coaching turmoil. I mean, when he got there, you know, he was under Perriano. Perriano got fired, and then he was the head man. And he brought in different staffs. He had Brewer left. The machine kept rolling. Yeah, but this is going to be a new challenge to lose your assistants in October. It's not like, and that's the weird thing, and that's where I think there's a lot of maybe frustration with Coach Kennedy and Coach Howe. It's, hey, in May, you knew this, and you could have. You could have just resigned because you knew you weren't going to get the vaccine. But at the same time, I'm not resigning either. That would have been convenient maybe for Coach Storniolo, but for Coach Kennedy and Coach Howell.
And Coach Storniolo probably knew where they stood, too. This probably didn't come as a surprise to him. And, you know, he probably is like, hey, these are my guys. I'm sticking with my guys, and I'm going to let them make the decision that they want to make. And if I got to deal with it in October, I got to deal with it in October. And, you know, as fast as things are changing in America, maybe stuff between May and October, a lot of things could change.
No question. And, yeah, I mean, anyway, lot changes very fast. So let's talk about who's number one. And I just have to say, today's show and who's number one recap is presented to you by Vade Nutrition, the world's first pre-measured nutritional supplements wrapped in a dissolvable food grade film created by a former Big Ten wrestler and seen on Shark Tank. Get 25% off with code TAKEDOWN25 on their website at www.vade-nutrition.com. Shout out Vade Nutrition. And there's a lot to recap from Who's Number One. It's historic because we had not one but two Who's Number Ones. We had the Friday, we had the women's Who's Number One, Saturday, men's. Both were tremendous. Cecilia Williams was probably one of the biggest revelations for me. Maybe I'm like super, super late to the party. She's an eighth grader, and she was, I thought she was tremendous. And her the physicality that she brought was amazing. But Ben, why don't we just start with you? What stood out to you for Who's Number One?
Well, so I did not watch it live. I was AWA dueling all weekend. We had a great weekend. We can discuss that later. I know, because that probably should be the number one topic, though. It's number one topic in my life.
Yeah.
Let's see. The one that stood out the most, because I told you guys, I wasn't all that excited by the matches, and then I watched the last five this morning or four this morning. I think the best one was obviously Swiderski and Jesse Mendez. It was a great match. And, you know, it was a good match without any context around it at all, right? If you just put this match on the mat and said, watch this match, it was a great match action-wise, back and forth, both guys. But then you put context around it, and it adds quite a bit to it. And I think probably from the standpoint of, and I will say, I didn't argue with you, but I think you were probably the one leading the train that Jesse Mendez is like ready to go be a college All-American, which maybe Swiderski is too.
He beat college
All-Americans
this offseason, so.
Fair enough, right? In freestyle. So, and maybe Swiderski's that good also, but I think I think you guys were probably surprised, or I was surprised that there was a high school kid that was competing with him.
I was not surprised that he was competing. I did not pick him, but I said going in, like, Casey Swiderski is a bad dude. Casey Swiderski is a savage. But I just thought Jesse was a tick better. He was, like, the same, but just a tick better.
Yeah, I think Swiderski's mentality and belief was something that I mean, just how much he thought he could really win this match was so apparent going into it, and that's something I wouldn't have expected. You know, it's hard to talk yourself into a challenge like this, but he's just the real deal every step of the way. And he came out and got the takedown. And then when Mendez responds and he gets his takedown, you're like, okay, well, now Jesse will roll. And then it just wasn't that way. And I don't know if we have any footage. I hope we do, right?
Incoming.
So, hey, two people this weekend, Christian, at the AWA Duels were telling me, I only listen to Flow on the radio, and it's so annoying when you guys show videos. I said, tough crap. It's so, I think the videos make the program so much better. So you guys need to watch this on video.
Yeah, watch it. We try to thread the needle because...
Talk over it, yeah.
Yeah, we got to talk over it. You can't be like, oh, watch this. You got to really describe it. But, you know, so sorry if you don't like that. But if you're watching on the video, it enhances it. Also, my boss yells at me when we don't have video clips. He's like, what are you doing? Why don't you have clips? I'm like,
I think the video clips they really add so much to it, yeah. In my opinion.
And Ben is who I'm talking about. Ben is my boss. I report to Ben Asker.
See, surprised you didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys don't know that? Ben's my boss. So, yeah, great, great match. Great performance from Casey Swiderski. And it was a match where normally when you see a match and there's a result and it's a surprising result, it's like your perceptions of athletes changes, right? And it's like, stock up this guy, stock down this guy. And all I thought was, stock up Casey Swiderski. And I'm just as bullish on Jesse Mendez as I was before that match.
Really? Just as bullish?
Just as. Absolutely.
Oh, I don't know. I think you were talking about him making senior world teams and stuff.
No. No.
What?
Stop yourself right there. What we were saying is, who's the next generation? Who's coming up? Who are the 2017 Yannis right now? Jesse Mendez is one of those guys who, in the next generation, over the next squad, is going to be contending. He's not ready to contend right now.
So that means Swiderski is also, because you know, if you think about two, a Yanni and a Dayton, the only guys they lost to were other Yannis and Daytons. I mean, you know, there was quite a few of those guys. Where the hell, Christian's mad at my statement, so he's leaving?
Yeah, he's getting the
What's
belt.
What's he digging me for?
Yeah, we got to have this. I don't know why.
What did I say wrong?
Casey Swiderski.
Swiderski?
Yeah, Swiderski.
Man,
it sounds like a skit from whatever. The Bears in SNL. Casey Swiderski.
Swiderski there, hey.
He probably has a piece of sausage lozenges.
Okay. So anyways, the guys who we're talking about who are in that I feel like they only lost to kind of like each other. They didn't lose to other people. So if you're saying Min is on that level, then Swiderski has to be also.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Because this was not like a fluke match where Swiderski caught him on his back.
No, sir. Not a fluke.
It was surprising. I mean, he was coming off a loss in the Fargo finals, which is why it surprised me that I just didn't think he was. He showed promise, but he wasn't ready to be on this level just yet. But, I mean, he did something in the past 2 months to show and made gains. And I think his quickness and timing surprised Jesse.
He's really athletic. In addition, and he's got the physicality behind it. He's slick. I mean, his the double on the edge when he beat the Wizard of Mendez, it looked like
that was
such a fun exchange. I don't know if we can cue that up again.
That was good.
But it's
that
like
was really good.
Shot from Swiderski, hard Wizard, and you think, oh my gosh, how did Mendez stop that attack? And then, it was.
Limp and then catch foot. It was really
and then good. Limp arm hard and catch him. And all the while, you're having to drag toes on the edge because it's the high school, the college out of bounds rules. It was just an amazing exchange from Swiderski. And it's really like, man, how did Mendez stop it initially? And then it's like, whoa, Swiderski figured out the finish. Love the NCAA rules. I think we're going to keep
what
that.
What did you think about the cautions?
Oh, don't even.
Well, that's part of the match. It was a 1-point difference.
I know. And I just don't want to yell about refs. It's like my thing.
Well, when I watch, okay, you just go pause to that lineup that he just did there where he got cautioned, and it's like that's not how you're allowed to line up. Like you're just not.
Yeah. I just think that shouldn't have been two cautions back to back. It should have like that's come what, off that, and that. Then, they gave two okay, within like sense. 1 second. I just don't think.
I don't even think Jesse realized that he got the first one.
No, I don't either.
Got it.
Which was largely the issue to me. He was very confused, and so were his coaches.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think that's how you call cautions. We can probably. I don't know if we have that full clip, but
the caution sequence is in it.
Yeah,
the final two.
Yeah. So he got one earlier that was earned, and he knew about that one. So it's not really actually the first one. It's the.
I think it's in the end of the second period, right?
Or when yes, is it? Correct.
Yeah, it's right before this, Tyler, when he's lining up on top. Right around here.
Right there.
So, yeah, he hops on.
And so they gave the first one because Jesse came on top before he was told to.
Right, yeah, but he didn't realize it.
He didn't even look up. He had no idea. And then he bumps a little bit. Right. And they give the second one.
But also look how high he is there. That's not a legal starting position.
Yeah.
So I didn't even realize.
I think that's why they called
here.
Him the second one. The first one was literally just for coming on top before he was told.
But they're supposed to after that first one, you gotta get him to come off.
He just said clear back. Yeah.
Clear back. You can't after you get a caution, it's like, man, I remember that it was kind of an annoying thing about remembering a coach, but it's like hot man get off, and then you come back on. And then go. But you can't just like stay crouched on. But also you gotta slow down. What are you lining up all weird for? It's like, everyone knows the rules.
I agree.
So that was but I don't want to get going on that because then the worst call was the Henson Williams sequence.
Which one?
The key lock.
We have that clip as well.
Dude, okay, so hold on. But that, I don't believe. Okay, so I hate that move. I was gonna flip on it also.
Well, it's not a move. It's totally illegal.
It's totally illegal. It's a Kimura. I mean, it is a Kimura. And the part that I get so annoyed is if you're successful on it, you will snap something in their shoulder to the point where they're out for six months. But is it illegal as far as the rule book definition? Is it a penalty in 1 point? Because I don't think it is.
Yes, it is. Real
it
Woods.
Is. Not dangerous.
NCAA. No, it's an illegal move.
Oh,
it is illegal. It was called illegal. You don't think it should be?
No, it should. It absolutely should be. 100%.
It is illegal. Yeah. This is what they got Real Woods with in his, I don't know if it was a round of 12 match or it was a big match.
That. DeSanto. Famously.
No. Oh, well, that's
different. Yeah, DeSanto
he was just
was
trying to break his arm. Real Woods was standing and trying to, trying to, you know, get a little cute takedown. But it's 100% illegal.
Yeah, and then the injury time. So then Henson gets down, and that is the point difference too.
Yeah, so it's
a huge part of the
2-point swing. Yeah. 2-point swing. Then, it's just not. There's no folk style, freestyle, Greco.
It's not. It should never be legal in any.
Not legal. It's not legal.
Jiu-jitsu. Only jiu-jitsu. It should be legal in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. We're breaking arms is like a goal. It is not a goal of wrestling, and it's not a wrestling move. And it's illegal. It should have been called illegal. And he should not have had to give up choice. And
so if someone does something illegal and then you take injury time, it's still injury time, right? That's what I was thinking about this, and I think it is.
It is still injury time, but you don't give up choice if it's caused by an illegal move.
Oh, okay, great. I mean, that's how it should be. I wasn't sure. The other thing, so then to defend Henson, the second potentially dangerous, I don't know if we can pull it up, where he's almost all the way behind him and it gets called potentially dangerous, at the point at which it got on the single leg, at the point at which it was called potentially dangerous, it was no longer potentially dangerous. There was no point where he was going to put force on the hip or the knee at that point. That point had already been crossed. That threshold was already over, and he was at the point where now he needed to secure the hip. So the fact that they called it potentially dangerous at that point in time, that was really frustrating because we're like, nah, he's past that point. There's no more threat to the knee or the hip.
Well, I think that is a super nuanced position where you have to really, really know wrestling positions in the human body. One. Two, I take a little issue. We don't have it. I take a little issue with the call when the guy puts himself in that position, right?
That too, yes.
It's like, man, you, Jordan Williams, put your knee in the compromised position. Now, is that a reason to let something go and have someone get injured? No, I don't know. But I don't like the idea of incentivizing flexible guys to make their knees look weird so they can get out of a potential scoring situation for their opponent. I think that's
not right. So I agree. I was actually talking. Unfortunately, we had a couple kids get hurt this weekend. It's actually three shoulders. But one of the kids, and listen, the refs should be protecting, but one of the kids was in a power half and didn't want to go over. And it did eventually get stopped, but before it got stopped, his shoulder actually got hurt. I think he separated his shoulder or something. But I was saying, like, I wrote an article many years back about how potentially dangerous, if outlawed, might actually make it safer. And this is more for college kids than high school kids. But if you guys wrestled, you're in a power half, you know, if I just lay here long enough and it gets bad enough, the referee is going to stop it. Yeah. I'll just keep laying. I'm incentivized to lay there because I know they're going to protect me. I don't have to protect myself. Whereas if I know I have, and this is where, again, college guys, where they really know what's going on. If they know I have to protect myself, then, man, they're more apt to say, okay, I'm just going to roll over because no one's going to protect me here.
And then again, I think about, part of me thinks you're right, but also I'm like, Ben, you yourself can take a pragmatic approach that I think logically makes sense. But I think so many of these college guys are so headstrong, Superman complex kind of thing. They're just going to take it. And like,
man, I don't know. I think it's going to, I think if we outlaw it tomorrow, there's going to be a few people in the beginning that are going to snap their shoulders off. And then the coaches are going to be like, hey guys, listen, if you don't roll over, your shoulder's going to get snapped off. Stop being a dummy. You know, because it's like, hey, is it 6 months or 3 points? And so maybe in a dire situation, like an NCAA final, we might see that happen potentially. But I think in other things, in the beginning, it might happen. But after a while, it wouldn't. Are we getting close?
I think you would see the thing with the knee. I think that would maybe change more than the – because I think some guys put their knee in a weird situation just for that.
They know they can hold on and get potentially dangerous.
But the other thing here is in the majority of situations where refs stop potentially dangerous because of the knee, they don't actually understand the situation and it's not actually dangerous. So hold on. I think we're here.
Right there.
Okay, so right there is bad, but Jordan Williams is fine there. And then if we go a little further – I think is when they if this is when they stop it, this is the one I'm talking about. No, that's not the one. So
they got into that position a couple times.
Why did they stop?
Yeah, so there's one where he's almost in like a quad pod, almost like rear behind him.
Hold on, guys. Can we talk about the fact that was stopped?
Yeah, it shouldn't have been.
I mean, what on earth?
The next one's worse. The next one is worse. Is what I'm saying. This one, okay, watch here. So here it's kind of dangerous a little bit, but by the time we got to there, see the hands on the hip. By the time he gets to the hand on the hip, he no longer is trying to do anything with the knee. He's now going to focus on pulling the hips into him and getting him driven over. You know what I'm saying? There's going to be no more pressure on the hip there.
Pause
right here, please. So yeah. Right here, he is working on pushing. I wish I had a teleshare. He is working on pushing the ankle to the outside so he can get his shoulder back behind and secure the position.
So right now,
a little bit dangerous. So right now he's putting some pressure on the knee. But can we go slow like one more second? Is that possible? Okay, so keep going. Okay, so keep going a little more. Right now, as he's capturing above the knee, so now his left hand's above the knee, his right hand is going to go up to the hip. Okay, so go a little more.
But he stopped.
So as he gets here, as he gets to here.
Right, but look, he stopped it before that.
But when we switch the hands, we know what's coming next.
He blew the whistle before the switch. You could see him.
His hand was here. His hand was on the left hand when he blows the whistle.
Look at the ref's left hand. He's
that means
it.
We're going to pull here and go here.
Ben, you have like a total pie in the sky hope for officiating and your expectations for the understanding of the position of the body. It's like it's never going to be that way. Like right, the knee's in a bad spot. Stop it.
Christian had been in a bad spot for about 4 to 5 seconds, and now it's getting out of a bad spot, and we're calling it as it's getting out of the bad spot. It had already been in the bad spot, and we didn't call it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree that the situation had improved, but he wasn't around the hip before he blew the whistle before he was around the hip. He was still down below the leg.
He was getting there.
Yeah, getting there. But it's like, we want them to be too predictive. It's just...
Well, you're a little idealistic. I mean, listen, that's where you go. You go there, and then you go there. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I thought that was when you stop it. I thought the other one was, like, crazy, like, late, and, like, just a basic wizard limp arm situation that got stopped.
Yeah. And so then the other thing about that situation, though, Christian, and maybe I'm being pie in the sky again, if a guy is to tweak his knee, and it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen all that much. From that specific situation where the guy's knee is on the ground and they're trying to run the corner, you think like Brian Robuto, unfortunately, tried to jump back over the top.
St. John blew his ACL.
But in positions where the knee is on the ground, you don't see knees hurt very often. If you do, it's usually just like a small tweak of the LCL. So we're not talking about a really, really severe injury in that position. So, yeah. I mean, I would really like to see them let that go on a little longer. And I think refs generally stop that too early.
Yeah, I don't know. I get nervous when I see the knees in that position. Like when it was completely turned around, his hips were like faced the other way. That looks strange to me, and like it should be stopped, period.
Well, there's the one, and then I think after that, even where he jumps over the top, that's the super dangerous one to me. But that's the one that also sucks because he clearly put himself there. So it sucks that he's almost being rewarded for doing something stupid, which is getting the action stopped.
100%. I agree with that. That was a good match. I'd love to see them wrestle it again. That's one. That is a true coin flip match, as far as I see it.
Williams was setting him up to go Iceman.
He was
again at the end,
but you can't always count on those late scores, especially against someone as good as Caleb Henson, who's very impressive.
Henson could be one of, if not the best guys out of Georgia, out of this Georgia crop from the past. I don't know, whatever, 7 years.
Yeah,
7-10 years.
He's super good. He's going to Virginia Tech. They know what they're doing. Other interesting stories that Nick Feldman beats Christian Carroll. Very an exciting match. Came down to it. Feldman kind of got slipped in a little bit.
Almost gave it up at the end. I'd say no takedown, but it was close.
It's not takedown, but I cannot believe Feldman after such a disciplined match, and then you just have this like little lapse. You maybe thought you won. And he fired off an attack and almost had it, but did not. It was the right call because the head was buried. And I don't even know if it was quite a J.O. We had a question like, wasn't that the J.O. Stieber position? I'm not sure that it was.
I actually didn't think J.O. Stieber. I did not think that was a takedown. I mean, it's very controversial.
By the rules, it wasn't, but they have since changed the rules because of that match.
Yes. Very true. So that was, I don't know if we have that or not. Did you have that?
No, but Tyler was pulling it up.
Okay.
So good.
All right, we'll keep it moving.
Bassett crushed. So hey, is what's the Illinois kid's name? 106.
Seth Mendoza.
Seth Mendoza. Is he also an eighth grader then?
No. No, he's a freshman.
Okay. So I guess maybe I should have asked this. Why didn't Bo wrestle Anthony Knox?
Because Anthony Knox wrestled Luke Littlefield for the number one spot at 106 pounds. Bo Bessa's not in the high school rankings.
So he can't be number one. So where's Seth Mendoza ranked at then?
Nine, I believe, is what he was going into this match.
So, yeah. That wasn't very competitive. Bo kind of put a clinic on him. But at the same time, this is one of those Pat Glory, Spencer Lee matches where I'm like, dang, Seth Mendoza is really good. He just wasn't quite good enough, and he wasn't quite good enough quite a bit, you know, in all these scrambles.
I also thought he looked just a little bit much smaller.
Yeah.
I thought he looked a lot smaller.
He's a child.
Yeah, I thought.
I did not have that impression when I was watching them wrestle.
I think he looked
and not just smaller, like less mature.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't, what was Bo's weight for Cadet Worlds?
Smaller than this. He was
way
like
small. I thought it was significantly smaller.
Yeah, I think I was
like 98 or look something
at the pictures,
like that.
Pictures of Bo from Cadet Worlds, man. His cheeks really sunken in. I think it was probably a pretty tough cut for him. Whereas I think he's like a true 6 pounder. I'm not sure if
he made 99 pounds, 45 kilos for Cadet Worlds.
Yeah,
that was only 2 months ago.
That could be a news flash. Bo's going to be continuing to grow because he's 14 years old or whatever. And
have Bo and Anthony Knox wrestled?
No.
They could wrestle at Super 32. Bo's going 106 at Super 32. I'm wondering, is Knox going to go and be able to...
I believe his plan is to go 106.
Dude, that's one of the most fine... That's like a Soriano Lee type of thing. Almost legit, almost perfectly, because when Soriano wrestled Spencer, oh my gosh, the parallels are insane. Because Nick was a freshman from New Jersey. Spencer was an eighth grader from Pennsylvania. Young guns. Oh, my gosh. So, it's 106. This is literally what we're looking at, potentially, with this matchup. I mean, totally legendary status here. I think Anthony Knox is going to be, I'm not.
He impressed me a lot, too.
He's going to be he's the next one. He's a superstar kind of guy.
Top game is what
great.
Really
great on top,
me.
Yeah.
Very good,
really
on top. Very good. He loves it. He works hard at it.
What club is he from out of New Jersey? Like, where does he wrestle?
Rhinoceros.
High school, maybe. Wait, isn't that Mike Mel's old club?
Yeah, Mike coached him.
Who coaches there now?
Mario Mason. What's the other guy's name? He said it yesterday. I was talking to Mike about it. I forget.
But. Okay. Because Mike's been at Flow for about 2017, 16, somewhere?
16.
Summer of 16.
Yeah. Summer of 69.
Summer of 60. It's the summer of 69. Mike Mal is working at Flow Sports. Anthony Knox, super good. Another guy that has continued to impress is Nate Jessaroga. He, to me, is someone that's like, he is a ready to go college wrestler right now. He's got the hand fighting, the pace, the physicality.
How many years left does he have, though?
He's a junior.
He's a junior. So
2 years.
He's going to be super duper good.
And his top game surprised me as well. He was able to ride Joey Cruz out in the second and make Cruz take neutral in the third. And Joey Cruz never really came close to scoring in that match except the one point where Jessaroga cut him.
Yes. So he's really, really good. Gabe Arnold won the 170 four-man bracket.
Rocco Welsh, to me, was like the story coming out of that.
Completely agree. I thought,
what? Why do you think? Why do you guys think? I mean, just curious. Obviously, he got the two. He looked really good against Rojas, but he was shut down in the finals match. So why do you think he's the story?
Well, I thought he was more aggressive in the final. Couldn't get the takedown. I thought he had. He gave himself more chances. Just Gabe Arnold defensively is pretty
really solid.
He's really good.
Yes.
And it's like we kind of, not that Rocco Welsh hasn't been on the national level or anything, but I think it was surprising to see him come up all the way up at 170 now and do that. Gabe Arnold's been up a ways for a little bit and has been on, this national level for a while. Rock Welsh literally made Super 32 finals. So last year, so it's not like he hasn't been competing at a high level. It's just up at 170. And Gabe Arnold, after the match, said it had been a long time since he had felt someone like that strong and physical.
Yeah. Rocco was, he was super impressive to me. And
yeah, Rocco Welsh lost to Caliendo. I was trying to remember who he lost to at Fargo. He lost to Caliendo and then came back and beat Caliendo in the same tournament and ended up finishing third.
Yep. He's still got 2 years left.
I don't think a lot of people thought Rocco had a shot here to win this bracket.
Right.
Right.
Really?
I don't think so. I don't think people were thinking he would be
He was number, four coming in. So.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people were. And he was truly, truly impressive. As, you know, we had a question, is Bo Bassett going to be the first five-time who's number one champion? It's certainly possible. I mean, look at what he just did. You got to figure he's going to be towards the top of the rankings every single year.
Well, has there been anyone that's you competed in it five times?
Well, no. But
technically, you don't have to because Jesse has been multiple in it. This was Jesse's third, but he's been in two four-mans before this and won it. Got two wins last year, so if he would have won this year and next year, he would have been a five-time winner.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we just got to put Jesse in a four-man next year.
Absolutely. I'm excited to see Bo Bassett at Super 32 against Anthony Knox. I was really impressed by Anthony Knox. Luke Liddell is obviously good. He was a silver or bronze at Worlds, but I also watched Luke Liddell. I'm pretty sure this is a guy. I need to look it up so I don't spout facts that are not true. I thought I watched him at Northern Plains and he bumped up the weight and he did not do all that well because I think I was he lost to a kid from Illinois and then I guess he forfeited out after that.
Jesse's a senior, you know that.
Oh yeah, Mendez,
he won't be back. Yeah.
Correct.
Maybe right, so he can have Jesse... wrestled redshirt.
He's not gonna he won't be in who's number one again.
Fair enough.
Okay, Fishback Nelson. That was a impressive win for Dylan Fishback.
I mean, the stall call.
The stall call was really the thing there. Like, go ahead.
Wasn't Gavin Nelson ranked at 220? I thought.
Yeah, he wrestled most of
down.
Yes, because he wants to go 195 in college. So he's
197.
Or 197. Yeah, so he's getting ready for.
Got it.
That.
Okay. Makes sense.
Anything else before we put a bow on WNO for the time being?
Swiderski, Arrington. I was disappointed we didn't get to see Meyer. I mean, there's obviously a few injuries. Meyer Shapiro, I would do him go. Hopefully he's at who's number one. Jackson Arrington looked pretty good, but I wanted to see both of those guys against Meyer Shapiro. So that was unfortunate that he didn't get to wrestle. And then who's the other one that? Oh, I wanted to see Mark Anthony McGowan versus Jesse Roga. That would have been fun, also.
Yeah, I mean, shout out Joey Cruz for stepping up and taking the match and making 120 on super short notice. He's a big guy for the weight, and he made it.
It was less than a week notice.
Less than a week's notice, and he did. You know, appreciate him coming. He's a super. There's not a lot of weights where you have like that good of a quote replacement, but Joey Cruz is only one of them, and he represented himself. But Jesse Roga just. Clearly continuing to improve. Excited to see how much better he's going to get as a junior.
Mm-hmm.
He's super good. And I'm curious where he's going to go.
Well, he can't go to Iowa because you have two of his teammates there.
Well, can he or can't he? I mean, I don't know. How long?
You have Drake Ayala and you have
Shriver. You know, is that really going to be... Iowa seems to always figure this out. Every time we say, I don't know, how's it going to work? How's it going to fit? Well, things have a way of working themselves out.
They love backlogging 25 and
23s. How big do we really think but Drake Ayala is only going to be a 25-pounder? I think he's
going to between Shriver and Ayala, they're going to be 25.
Shriver's too big. And also,
Shriver's
it's
not going to start.
I don't think maybe Shriver won't start. But I think you look at – I like Cullen, but – I think Drake and Roga are better prospects at this point.
Yeah. Because if you look back at Iowa and you say it's worked out, but it just the guys who aren't good enough haven't started. So what was the kid from Minnesota that was a Cadet World team member that
Cashman
never got a starting spot? And there has been other guys that you know, maybe would have done better had they gone other places and gotten the opportunity to start. And then maybe that would have assisted them. So yeah, I mean, there's gonna, and like Schriever was, I don't know, was he was top three probably out of high school, and now he's looking like he may never start. So it doesn't work out for everyone.
Well, I don't think, when's the last time, I mean, I think it's Gilman Clark is the last time there's been like a pretty equivalent guy, right? When I say these things have a way of working themselves out, there's a clear number one, there's a clear pecking order in Iowa historically over the last couple of years, yeah, right? And Clark Gilman was probably the last instance where it wasn't super clear. Gilman won Midlands. He beat Delgado and Gerard Garnett, I think it was that year. And yeah, Clark had lost. So, but other than that, I mean, Cashman is clearly not a guy that's going to contend for a spot at Iowa. He's not an All-American or national
Yeah, champion. I mean, it's talking about good recruits that go somewhere. And then, I mean, because part of getting better, and you can do it the other way, right? You can do it as a backup. But part of getting better is getting the coach's attention, getting the starting spot, getting the reps, getting all of those things. That helps immensely at getting better. So when you put yourself in a spot when you're clearly not going to be that guy, that's going to be counterproductive to your wrestling. And listen, like you said, some guys deal with it fine and they get a lot better. But there's a bunch of guys who don't.
Yeah. And I think Cashman was always kind of a question mark as a recruit. He had the Cadet World spot where he was a surprise when he made the team. But I don't think anyone was like, this is a guy that's going to be a superstar at the next level. I don't think he's the best example. So anyway, bottom line, Jesse Roga to Iowa makes all the sense in the world to me, and I don't think there's some logjam. I think if Drake and Nate end up on the same team, I think they'll make it work, right? DeSanto's going to be gone soon. Spencer's going to be gone. There's red shirts to play with. There's weight classes to play with, and I think it'll all work out. Now, if that's where Nate wants to go, I don't know. But I don't think lineup construction is going to be the reason Nate Jesseroga doesn't go to Iowa. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
No logjam.
All right. I wouldn't necessarily say, like, I think it's still very much up in the air where he goes.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very, very possible. Okay.
Also, special shout out to Takedown for the uniforms and helping us out with some other late gear issues. The uniforms were awesome. So
those were fire. My favorite Who's Number One uniforms yet. I thought they looked super, super sharp. So shout out Takedown. Those were really good. First time I think they've made our uniforms, and I thought they looked freaking awesome. So that's cool. Shout out to them. Ben
Keeter?
Yeah. It looks like Cooter to me.
I think it's Keeter. I'm pretty sure it's Keeter.
Maybe, but I think it's Cooter. I think wrestling pronunciations. I mean, who am I to tell this man, a man of his size, stature, and athletic ability, how to say his name?
Well, what did he tell you?
Huh?
What did he tell you?
I don't know. Ben Cooter from the Man on the Moon. But I just know letters in the order of them how I would present. It's like Hidley Cooter, right? But it's Hidley and Keeter, apparently. So Ben Keeter, doubling up at Iowa. He plays four sports apparently in high school. Going to be a total slacker when he goes to college and only do two sports, football and wrestling. Pretty good get for the Hawkeyes. Now, I always am like dubious of how is this really going to work out for the double sports. Who's the last really successful?
Hoke it.
From Fresno, but how did he do?
He
All American in both.
The same year,
I think so.
He'd be the last.
I know that Josh Hokett placed at 197, but I just don't remember. I thought he got like way more into football the year after that, and then did not recapture the magic.
Well, then he also went on to get drafted, so to the 49ers, not to the U.S. military,
right? Right. I know many of you are wondering which branch of the military. No. Did he place his senior year?
I don't think he did. I don't think so.
Oh, well, that was
the Corona year.
Where
I don't think he was going to play stuff.
No one was allowed to place that year.
Yeah.
Okay. So It's pretty rare, and I don't know. I feel like you're going to have to probably sort of pick one, but maybe that's a decision for later. And I don't know, but JD, do you know anything about his football? Like, how
he's
good
very
is
good at football.
Very good at football.
Very good at football.
What position
is he? Well, he's gigantic. He's 220, super athletic.
Yeah, I believe he's
a linebacker.
Yes.
Nice. I feel like the requirements of requirements. I don't know, the obligations at Iowa may be different than Fresno State. You know, just like especially from a football team perspective.
Yeah, so, and it's like
we'll see. Maybe you can do
they
it.
They go to a bowl game, like
mid-January.
And Iowa has a legitimate shot at making the playoff this year. They're ranked number 5 right now. I'm not saying they're going to do that all of his years at Iowa, but it makes it tough, and it makes you...
Well, Iowa will certainly be in a bowl game every year.
Oh, like they're going to the Capital One or the Outback Bowl every year.
Yes.
It's just what they do.
They love Outback. I mean, it's a great... You can't beat Outback. Ben, do you like Blooming Outback?
Onion, oof.
What? Oh, Outback, the food?
Yes.
Or the Australia? The Australian Outback, they're being pretty authoritarian. I don't really want to go to Australia anymore. I used to want to visit there. Not anymore.
Okay, and, we're talking about a Bloomin' Onion, not the freaking authoritarian regime or whatever.
Dude, it's bad. You should watch it.
I'm aware, Ben.
It's terrible. I have not been to Outback Steakhouse in a very long time. But you know what? I'm starting to like steaks more and more. I didn't really love steaks, and now I freaking love steaks now, Christian.
You call yourself
last week, I ordered myself a steak on the way home from practice. My wife's like, what, you just get whatever you want on the way home? Like, listen, you didn't make dinner. I'm getting myself a damn steak, woman.
What? Holy crap. Yeah. Bold way of speaking to Miss Amy Asker. Hey, I love steak, too. We're big steak family.
Big steak family.
Fine meal. All right. So, Ben Kuderkeeter going to Iowa. Good get for them.
I'm pretty sure it's Ben Keeter. You guys are. It's Keeter. Him a few times.
I've already been dinged, but
yeah, I did ding him. It probably means that Iowa picked up the scholarship, so it's kind of like
football,
a free recruit.
Do you mean football?
Or yeah,
football.
Obviously, Iowa picked up the scholarship.
I figured Iowa would be involved in the scholarship.
But football.
It'd be really nice of Iowa State to do him a solid and pick up the scholarship, but let him go to Iowa. But
then it's also like if he starts actually doing something in football, parents might be like, hey, are you still doing that wrestling thing?
Yeah, you sure, buddy?
Yeah, because actually they're paying the bills. They get to make the calls,
exactly.
Right?
And here's my question. Is Ben, as I've always called him, is he going to be someone who could, you know, football is basically your life from what, summer to, we'll call it December 30th. Is he going to be so good at wrestling that he's just going to be able to show up January 1, start practicing, and be really, really good? As a D1 wrestler, good place start for
D1
Iowa
wrestler,
good.
Iowa good, yeah.
D1 wrestler starter for Iowa good. That's my question. That seems like you got to be super special in wrestling to be able to make it. But he's at the right weight class to do it, right? You know, if he were
heavy Chevy,
if he were at 84, 97, heavy. Not that there are many of those guys that are football players, but it'd be a little tougher. So
hey, what did Nick Feldman weigh in at? Because he obviously was bigger than Christian Carroll, but
not by much.
He was just like 5 pounds
too big.
Bigger than him.
Like so, he's like 235, 240, or what?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I thought I didn't. I expected there'd be a little more of a size difference, and then they wrestled, and I was like, he's not that
huge.
Much. Carroll's big. He's real big. Yeah. And I don't feel like size played a factor in that match really at all.
No,
I don't think so.
Okay.
Also, shout out to those guys doing head cartwheels and stuff.
Shout out.
They're not huge heavyweights, but you still don't see that very much at heavyweight. Regardless.
They're bigger than us. Maybe not Ben. Ben's a big guy.
No, I'm not over 200 pounds. I decided to be a little healthier.
You're down to like, what, three bowls of ice cream a week is all?
Well, I really, very small amounts of ice cream, and I picked up the intensity on the workouts. Because I decided being fat was like a huge lack of discipline, and I'm not an undisciplined person, so then I'm just not going to be fat. Simple.
Yeah. I mean, like...
I was prohibited from working out for a 4-month stretch, so that probably did not help my shape. But yeah, now I'm cranking it up.
Good for you. I would rather work out a lot and eat what I want than, you know, do. Yeah, that's. I think that's the way to go. Exactly. That's the move. Okay.
Yes.
Do we want to do this 141 bit here, JD? I think this could be a fun topic.
Sure.
Let's do it.
Okay.
So we've been going through the best weight, weight by weight, best to not win a title of the past 10 years. 141 is going to be spicy. So here's the best 41s to not win a title of the past 10 years. Joey McKenna, Mitchell Port, Devin Carter, Hunter Stieber, Montel Marion, Jimmy, I'm not going to say Jay Nyman because he could still win. Jimmy Kennedy, Bryce Meredith, Boris Novochkov, Luke Pletcher. I'm definitely not going to say Real Woods.
Wait, Montel Marion was not in the last 10 years, guys.
Yes, he was. 2011.
When did he graduate?
2011 was his last year.
I thought 2010 was, I thought 2010, are you sure 2010 is not his last year? I think he's the same age as Max, and Max.
No, you're right. JD's right. He wrestled 2011 okay. NCAAs. He had the crazy loss to Mike Thorne, where Thorne jumped the whistle and the ref didn't get in there, and Tom Brands got really mad, and I think he lost a team point. if I'm remembering correctly,
sounds about right.
So yeah,
let's see.
Who is the best?
I know you're going Devin Carter. That's pretty obvious.
Devin Carter's what? He's two weights, 33 and 41. Speaking of Devin Carter, let me go back before we put a bow on who's number one. G move of the night was not from a wrestler at who's number one. It was Kevin Dresser sending David Carr to who's number one. He was in the corner. He was around the guys. Cool guy. Everyone loves David Carr. Why not have your best wrestler around all the best wrestlers in the country? I think some other coaches took notes and were like, how are they able to do this? I think you're able to do it. He's just a little bit ahead of the curve. And so, you know, all the
wrestlers. Kevin Dresser's good at finding those niches, huh, Christian?
Oh, yeah. Because I remember back in the day, the Virginia Tech days, he would say, like, yeah, just bring Devin Carter where I go. And he's my number one recruiter. He's like, the kids love Devin Carter. And now, same playbook, but now with an NCAA champion, David Carr. Smart move. Kevin Dresser. Savvy man.
Turns out he's a good coach.
And he's an honorary Virginian. Whether he likes it or not, what he did at Grundy and Christiansburg, that makes you a Virginian.
He's from Humboldt, Iowa.
I think he's a Virginian through and through now. We will certainly claim him. So
you need it.
Anyway, that Devin Carter reminded me I wanted to talk about that because that was certainly something that other college
coaches. I was wondering why the hell he was in the corner of Manny Rojas. I'm like, why is David Carr in Manny Rojas? I know he's committed there, but what is the connection here that David Carr would come all the way to Dallas, Texas to be in his corner? Because Manny Rojas lives in Michigan. He doesn't live in Iowa. I could not figure it out.
Who knows?
He's just already got his back.
He's got his back. He's his hype man. So anyway, that's the list of people. So an interesting one here is Luke Pletcher because he was the favorite to win NCAAs in the Corona year. Now, if you want me to say that Luke Pletcher is better than Montel or Joey or Mitchell Port, I'm gonna have a hard time going there. But at the same time, he has an interesting argument in that he was probably the guy,
and that he almost was not even on this list.
He was almost not on. Why?
He could have won in 2020.
Oh yeah. He was so close to not being on this list because he really could have won. It would have been him and Nickley in the finals, and who knows how it would have gone.
And he had just beaten Nickley at Big Tens.
They split on the year.
Yes.
So that's an interesting little nugget. And then you look at someone like Mitchell Port, it's like, all right, you lost to a four-time NCAA champion. It's like, all right, he was super good. But you know, the one year it looked like he would probably be in the finals opposite Logan, and he got beat by Evan Henderson in 2014. So it's like,
Hendo.
All right. Hendo got him, and then he wrestled back for third, I think. Mitchell did. Then there's Montel Marion, who was right there as well. So who do you say, Ben?
I mean, when I looked at the list, my first take was Joey McKenna. That was the first thing I thought. Second thing was Luke Pletcher would have been NCAA champion, but he had some other years that weren't really that great. So I think it's probably Montel Marion.
Wow.
I know. I want to go Montel, too.
I got to do, too.
He was so
I don't even
good.
Think Real Woods should be on the list. I don't know why he's on the list.
I know. I just toss on. You don't
listen.
Have to throw daggers at Real Woods.
Do we have to throw daggers? The daggers are thrown at you.
And he's the daggers thrown at you. And it's not like he's made, you know, these other guys have like made the NCAA finals.
I was just literally thinking, I put a bunch of names on there.
It's audacious. For McKenna, let's look at his NCAA losses his last 2 years. His junior year, he lost 1-0 to Bryce Meredith, who ended up losing to Yanni in the final match. And he didn't go under Bryce. And then he kind of waited a little while to get it going. And then his NCAA final against Yanni, which was crazy. Some of the calls were weird for sure. And it's like, man, maybe he should have won that match, but he didn't. He beat Nick Lee that year, who is an NCAA champion. So McKenna's got some wins that make you think. And then the fact that, okay, so if we're going to say, one way to think about this, Mitchell Port lost to a four-time national champion. Was it his senior year?
That he lost to Logan?
Yeah.
Yes.
So his senior year, he lost to Logan, a four-time champ.
Close, too.
Sort of. Not really.
Yeah, it's not like ever really came close.
It wasn't like Yanni, Joey.
That's true.
My point is, all right, if we're going to give Mitchell that benefit, maybe does Joey get that benefit as well that he lost to Yanni, who could be, when it's all said and done, a five-time national champion, whatever. That's something to also consider. So that makes me want to give him a little more weight. Then you look at Montel Marion and the wins he had throughout his career. He beat a lot of really, really good dudes.
And two finals.
He lost to Kellen Russell and lost to Kyle Dake, another four-time national champion. He wrestled in the 2012 NCAA finals, too. That was 2012 he wrestled.
Are you sure he's that young?
Yeah. Why are you trying to act like Montel Marion is 11 years old?
I feel like he's as old as my brother. Apparently, I'm wrong. It's okay.
Yeah. He definitely wrestled in – and he may be, but, you know, the age – there can be some age disparity with these guys. I'll take – man, I think I'm going to take Mitchell Port, actually. I think he's probably the best guy of this group.
Yeah.
Really – I mean, because I think you have to look at the dominance. And he, outside of, like, Logan, he was such a dominant wrestler, especially his season year.
Montel.
And I'm not mad at that. I think there's a lot of good options.
Who are you going, JD?
Real Woods. I want to go Montel, but I think I'm going to go Joey. I think I'm going to go McKenna.
Wow. Okay. I think he's one of the names you can definitely say. Mitchell Port, also, you can say whatever year this was. He beat Zane Rutherford.
That's true.
Ooh.
He has the best win.
Listen, Zane Rutherford, he lost to two people his entire career? One of them was Logan Stieber, who he beat. The other one was Mitchell Port. So Zane Rutherford was a full-on freak for 4 years of college. And yes, he reached a new, like, crazy level his sophomore year through senior, but still, that win is a crazy win to have. I'm going to go with Port.
Hunter Seaver is probably the biggest what if.
Total what if, because he's better than, don't get me started. I mean, Hunter.
Did he just get hired? Did Bracky get hired?
Ohio
Bobcats, baby.
That is a freaking great get by the Bobcats it's the Bobcats?
Yes.
It's the Bobcats.
I believe so.
I freaked out for a second that it was Cleveland State and didn't want to give the wrong. Yeah, that is a great get. And I didn't know he was even looking to go back. I mean, he'd been at Oklahoma, and I figured that was kind of like the spot. But good job, Coach Greenlee. I mean, Hunter's this super slick wrestler.
Yes.
By all accounts, a good coach as well.
Where was he coaching before this?
Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
Where the wind was sweeping down the plain.
Oh, my gosh.
Where the deer and the buffalo play.
That's a different song.
That's still a great song.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
All right. Next up, want to go to questions from friends?
Let's do it.
First of all, though, Russia does have their Worlds lineup.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that real quick.
King G coming on tomorrow to talk about it in depth.
Oh, he is, nice.
So we'll have more to We'll talk about it.
Are you talking about the Sikkim D tweet?
Yeah, that's Ivan. He's the connect.
They had their nationals, the wrestle-offs, and these are the winners. Plus 61 and 97 didn't have to wrestle off. They were given the spot.
So does this mean that this is going to be the lineup, the one that Ivan tweeted will be their lineup for sure?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow. I never heard of Bizhoev. Who the heck's he?
He's good. He's been on the scene for a while.
This is why we're going to have King G on. He will give us more information.
Yes. And where the hell is Kabardia? Is this like Narnia?
Yes. Let's look. We'll just map it.
I'm going to map it, right?
Ben
I'm
likes to it. Quiz us. To I don't know why. He's just like, it's just.
It's in the Caucasus.
It's by Georgia.
Yes.
But their heavyweight is from Petersburg, which you never see guys from Petersburg on the team.
Never.
Very rare. That heavyweight hasn't won over Quiz, I do believe.
Oh.
He beat the guy who beat the guy who was their Olympian.
Dang. Kozriev. Beat the guy who beat the guy. To be the man, you got to beat the man who beat the man.
I've always said
dang.
That.
They're 70s from all the way over by, like, Mongolia.
Yeah.
Is that Beridia? Is that where that is?
Yeah. Led by Lake Baikal.
Petersburg, this guy's going to be not that far from his homeland, because that's not far from Norway. Okay.
No, not at all.
This is where people love Map Talk. I know that.
Map Talk. Yeah. Map Talk. So great.
Map Talk online.
Social studies with Spey.
Yeah. Now let's go to questions from friends. Question for Ben Askren. Many international wrestlers are going seatbelt from a single leg. Is this something you recommend for high school wrestlers? Or should they stay on the single and finish?
I recommend the shit out of this position.
Wow. we'll go off. Kate.
We spent so much time here. Well, because from a seatbelt position, you can force them towards an out-of-bounds line, which is going to provide a whole bunch of benefits in freestyle. Very controlling position. Obviously, we saw Gilman go there a whole bunch at the Olympics. So, yeah, we worked this position so many times. Seatbelt is a... Man, if you have a good seatbelt, I feel like it's so beneficial. I love that position in there, both from the feet and on the mat. And yes, I think we're seeing a lot of people spend time here because the other thing and the other place I really just tell people, if you get a single, you shoot a single leg, it's not a good single leg, and you get stretched out, if you don't move somewhere, then you're going to be in there for headlock, there, mantis. You're going to be in a bad position, which you need to then recover from. If you're in a single leg and starting to stretch out, boom, you can switch to a seatbelt, and now you're in an advantageous position. You're not in for headlock defense or mantis defense. You're in a seatbelt position.
Mantis toboggan position. That's not what I'm saying. Yes, I do.
Dr.
Mantis. Yeah, I love mantis toboggan position. I got my seatbelt, though. I got the rib crusher from there. Dude, you don't want to feel that one. Bust a watermelon open with that. We could do it live on show Thursday.
I bring it. Yeah, let's go.
If you want to get watermelon over your basement, yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Hey, you know what?
I'm in your studio Thursday.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ironic because Ben Askren. Ironic because Ben Askren doesn't wear a seatbelt. He doesn't even like seatbelts in real life, but in wrestling, they're the bee's knees.
Seatbelt. You know who else used to use seatbelt was Jake Herbert. He loves seatbelt. Now it's becoming very popular.
Did he really? I remember he only. When I think of Jake Herbert's finishes, I think everything was backdoor.
Jake Herbert loves a seatbelt.
Okay.
Promise you. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I believe you. Hey, you would know.
Yeah.
You would know. Okay, next question. Why wasn't Who's Number One held at a bigger venue with a larger crowd? Well, it's hard to find venues, for one.
You guys should have rented Cowboy Stadium.
Yeah, we should just get the Cowboy. That would be easy.
Talk to my good friend, Mr. Jones.
Mr. Jerry Jones. And they've been playing football in that recently. I don't know. I didn't ask for details. I think we will see Who's Number One go back to, you know, maybe Universe. Maybe not, though. Because, you know, they charge you an arm and a leg to come to their place. It's like, well, what's the point here? We can do it way cheaper, way cooler, get our stuff, home field advantage. So
looks very good.
Yeah, it looks better. Look better than it did at the, Lehigh or even Carver in some ways. So I don't know. You said
home field, Christian, but why didn't you hold it in Austin? Dallas is, you know, a good 3 hours up the road. You couldn't find one good venue in Austin?
No.
Literally, no.
Yeah.
WTF. Austin's too popular now.
It's very popular.
Wow.
So yeah, I would not rule out us having a bigger venue, larger crowd, but man, you know, you go to you guys are maybe overstating the I would rather have some scarcity for the tickets than like a giant place with
Yeah, it's going to be hard. I mean, it's just going to be hard to get someone to pay and travel. It's not a team event. It's not a world team. I mean, even for the world team trials, man, they didn't sell that place out. So, yeah, exactly. I mean, we're starting to see crowds for wrestling, but it's usually around the NCAA championships, a Big Ten championship, something where there's teams involved, right? And where there's a team component to it, where it's like, you know, how many ties from a high school kid do you have? You know, you have a ties to one kid, are you really going to pay $400 for the plane ticket and $150 for the hotel to go see one high school kid? And the answer is probably not.
Yeah. I mean, we've had, we were at Lehigh many years.
Iowa.
We had a Final X in Lehigh and like hardly anyone showed up. We've had number one there. Not many people came. Even Carver Hawkeye was like good, but not, it's, and one, no, 5,000 people there. That's for darn sure.
It's just unfortunate when it's that big.
It's that big.
It doesn't get, like, filled. Like, there can be an intimate setting with less people is better than a large venue with more people, but it feels empty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a little more hype. So, I don't know. I'm not ruling out that we wouldn't go back, but there's not 15,000 people that are trying to watch a high school all-star match either. So,
also, this is separate. I'm not saying travel to who's number one, but a lot of people are like, oh, why would I watch who's number one? It's a high school event. Statistically speaking, not all these guys are even going to pan out in college. Anyway, the level of wrestling that goes down at this event is crazy. It is far surpassed anything from 10 years ago, even 7-6 years ago, high school wrestling. The level at which these high school sophomore, junior, seniors are wrestling is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So it's still fun to watch, and I would recommend it. Recommend watching, even if you don't watch any other high school wrestling.
Yeah.
Here.
Super high level. Speaking of, from PD3 Dumpster Fire, the girls WNO was clearly more entertaining than the boys. Is this freestyle versus folk style, or just the way the matchups went this year? I think a little freestyle folk style. I think a little matchup. I think matchups matter a lot, but man, the ladies just let it fly a little bit more, right? I think the guys are calculated. They understand the, you know, any mistake could really be punished. Whereas, it seemed like the ladies just let it all hang out and just see what happens.
The pin total was literally doubled by the lady. There were three pins. There had been three pins in the history of who's number one. There were three pins Friday night.
Can you name the three prior to last night?
No.
Sammy Sasso was one.
Sasso?
Yeah.
Trent Hidley pinned Ramirez.
Who did he pin? I don't remember. Julian Ramirez?
Yep. And, dang, I don't remember the other one. I figured you would know. Well, dag on it. Now I'm going to wonder.
The part of me thought that from a psychological standpoint, the 3-minute first period, because none of these guys had actually ever wrestled a 7-minute competitive match. So it made me think like, hey, are they being cautious? Cause they don't know, you know, it's a different feel for them. It's a psychological thing where it's, you know, hey, it's a minute longer, but that could still psychologically have an effect on some athletes if they've never done it before. So that was kind of one thing I was thinking about when I was watching, is it that why we're having a little bit slower matches? Vojinović over Jesse Mendez. Thanks, Ross Patton.
No, Vasquez.
Yeah. Who did I say?
Mendez.
Oh, yes.
That's right. That's power half and pinned him.
Mm-hmm. That's wild.
Okay, doke. Next question from our friends. All right, EJ Newton. My son asked me why they don't rotate Olympic weights every other Olympics so every weight class gets to be an Olympic weight. Made me think about it. Don't really like the idea, but what do you guys think? I also don't like the idea.
Yeah, just
tap
your weight.
I don't know, kind of not bad. Kind of interesting.
Then you're making guys bounce.
But then, like, we figure out how much weights matter. We figure how much weights matter.
We already know how much weights matter.
Because, like, a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think anyone's questioning that. I don't think that's how we find out.
We already know. It's just that the IOC won't.
So then we're making all Olympics specific to certain size guys. You just hate James Green.
Yes. Well,
I don't.
If you moved it, then you're still doing that.
If you make you always give him a shot once every 8 years.
You gotta give us a shot.
Once every 8 years, give him a shot. All right. Leave heavyweight, rotate the other five. I'm in.
All right, from Tommy the Reply Guy. If more rosters get decimated by coaches or athletes refusing to get the increasingly mandated COVID vaccine, then leaving the programs voluntarily or not, do you think we're at risk of universities deciding it's not worth the hassle and begin cutting programs?
Yeah.
I think we're quite a ways off from that.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
From Hedgehog Day. Oh, Hedgehog Day. Sorry. Why does Kylie Wilker keep her right hand on the mat when keeping distance? And why does Kennedy Blades have a walking routine instead of standing? I don't know what that means. Talk about
what does that mean?
A walking routine instead of standing.
What is that? I don't understand what that means.
All right. I thought the first part was sort of interesting, but I don't know. Maybe we'll just move on from that one.
Yeah, skip that one.
FRL memes, with all the talk of wrestling and AI, do you ever see a world where humans and robots could peacefully coexist?
You know what I want to
do? They do coexist. But...
You know what I want to talk about? AI wrestling robots. I've been obsessed with this topic. I brought it up like 3 times at our high school practices. I want to talk about AI wrestling robots, Christian. That's what I want to talk about.
You're not going to be able to pin a robot.
I want to make the robot wrestle, but it's going to be really difficult. Yeah. Because and you know what this has made me think a lot about is how much more simple chess is than wrestling. Chess is intellectually inferior to wrestling in many orders of magnitude. Wrestling is
Nobody
so much.
Questions.
Oh, certainly. Some
no one's ever thought about this. Everyone thinks about they think chess, intellectual people. No, wrestling has the intellectual capacity needed to wrestle at a high level is significantly higher because chess, you can only make like. This, you know, hey, what's the little horsey piece? It can only go like this. It can only go like an L, right? That's it. Can't do anything else. Doesn't matter. It can't do it at different speeds. It can't do it at different powers. Can't do sneaky moves. It can't be like, hey, I'm going right and then I go left. Can't do that.
Correct.
Wrestling, I can shoot a single leg like 700 different ways. Different speed, different power, different angles, different setups, different finishes. So many different things. The intellectual capacity to wrestle at a high level. And then on top of that, chess, you get like 90 seconds to make a move. They have a little clock there and you get to ding it. Wrestling, you try to do it and take 90 seconds, you're going to get pinned. Don't even think about dinging that bell.
Well, I thought I would demonstrate
it. You got to make a decision like that.
Yeah, and you're under mental stress in chess, but it's mental and physical stress in wrestling. Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's anyone that would question it. I mean, maybe some nerds would, but, you know, come on, dude.
Some nerds. They're just biased, though. There's no way. There's no way you can make a real argument.
Right.
Ben, we can go deep dive on the Danaher Friedman podcast when you get down here because I listened to it, and it is incredible.
It's awesome.
That's
awesome,
like homework for everybody. Go listen to
is
that
Is it really
podcast.
That good?
It
I still haven't listened
so
to
good.
It.
It's so good. It is so good. I made so many people listen. But... I texted it to so many people that they're going to listen to it. Yeah. But I cannot believe when they were talking about the they weren't talking about AI wrestling robots. They were talking about AI grappling robots. They did not bring up the power balance component to it. It didn't make sense. They brought up the intellectual part of it only, but that's not grappling and wrestling aren't only intellectual. There's so much more to it.
No question. I guess I got to listen. John Danaher could be in town this weekend. Actually, he's moving to Austin, Texas.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
How many? So, who on the Danaher Death Squad is moving to Austin?
They're all here.
They're just different clubs, but
it's all
here.
I thought they were disbanding.
They are, but they all moved to Austin.
So, why are they disbanding, but all moving to the same place? That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Because they all love Austin, but not each other.
Oh, that. So, there's personality. So, I.
Don't. JD, you've already said too much.
No. Listen. My take on it was someone wanted to stay in Puerto Rico, someone wanted to move back to New York, someone wanted to go to Austin. That was kind of my understanding. JD, tell us the truth.
There's nothing else he will say.
That on is air? It. On air?
On air, we'll off air, no air. Yeah, that's it.
Then I get the truth. Then I get the truth when I get to Austin.
Okay. Well, we'll see you there. Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Are you going back home? When do you fly back? You should come to the WNO Championships.
Friday. I'm flying back on Friday.
Why don't you change that?
I got to watch my kids. And I had to do private lessons. I got stuff to do.
Which kids are we talking about? Your biological kids or your athletes?
Biological, and then I'm doing some private lessons on Saturday. Also,
dude, Saturday and Sunday is going to be insane.
Why?
WNO Championships on Flow Grappling.
What day? Saturday?
Saturday and Sunday.
Wait, why is it a two-day event?
Because it's five brackets, bracketed tournaments, two-day tournaments.
How many? Eight-man? Four-man?
Eight-man.
Eight-man.
It'd be absolutely epic.
They got wrestlebacks or just front side?
Yeah, wrestlebacks. I instituted that, actually.
It's like, good. Should let these guys jiu-jitsu backs.
Yeah.
No, grapple backs.
No closeouts.
Grapple backs.
It's going to be freaking fire. Everyone's going to be there.
The notion that not to pick on jiu-jitsu too much, but the notion that people would actually pay to go to Worlds, and if you lose one match, you're out, that freaking sucks.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, there is bronze, but I think you have to
you have to make the semis. Or that's how it used to be, at least.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how it is. Yeah. I think they should do grapple backs or whatever you want to call it. It'd be good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same for wrestling in that Worlds.
Well, it's a little different, but yeah.
You could go 0-1.
Yeah, you can go 0-1 for sure.
I was speaking more from like jiu-jitsu. It's not like you have to make your world team and then you go, right? Anyone can pay and show up.
True.
And mm-hmm. And then they have the belt divisions, the white, the blue, you know, so especially those lower level people when they, they pay all that money and go there and then they get one match and they got to go home. That sucks.
Yep. We should talk about this one maybe tomorrow. I want to have a good one, but can we get one bold prediction for this upcoming NCAA season? Bold.
Let's save it for tomorrow.
Missouri to win NCAAs.
Missouri's winning NCAAs.
Yeah.
The 2024 in Kansas City, Missouri's winning NCAAs, and I'm hosting the after party, and you haters can't come.
Oh, I can't come?
You're a hater.
I'm not a hater. How much? What have I hated on?
Missouri seeds.
I'm not a homer. Well, they're seeds.
Constantly.
Yeah, they are terrible. Okay, last one from at some point today. I don't think you were shamed enough for trying to shoot down AJ versus Gable match this season. Why do you hate fun?
Yeah, why do you hate fun? Shame, Christian.
All right. Ben did shame me then, and I felt shame. But I just think it's just so much fun. So fun. You know what, AJ? Just do it.
Whatever the score is, it would be a good amount of fun. You cannot deny that.
The pain will not happen at your expense, Christian, so go all in.
you're right. I think logically it's like, why would AJ do that? It just makes no sense.
Why do we need logic?
Yeah, why? Yeah, true.
Listen, here's AJ. Here's AJ. AJ says, hey, WWE, I'm going to bump up and take on Gable. And, you know, that is going to be the start of our budding rivalry over the course of the next 20 years. So, you know, you sign me also, and then I'll start talking that smack. We'll start the rivalry. He'll beat me in wrestling. I'll come back, and I'll beat him for the WWE Championship belt, baby.
That would be epic. And one of those things would be an actual real competition. That would be exciting.
Yes.
Okay.
Such a hater.
Come on.
Hey, Jesse Delgado fought for the first time last weekend, and Bo Nickel is fighting for the first time this weekend.
Yes.
A lot of people seem like, I don't know. I fielded a lot of Bo Nickel-related questions over the last week. Is like, did we not?
What do you mean?
Is he done? Is he just doing MMA now? That was always the plan. I thought understood.
That was the plan, yeah. Post-Olympics.
Post-Olympics, Bo's a fighter person.
And, a fighter person.
And so now he's going to be fighting people and not wrestling people.
Fighter
as much.
Person.
I'm sure he'll stay at.
But he's going to be a good fighter person.
Ben basically says every good wrestler will be a good fighter person, but that's not always.
I mean, even the really good ones are like, even when they're not good, they're still pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, mid-tier UFC is still pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Good luck to Bo. September 24th, I think. Is when he fights, which is in 3 or 4 days. So
that's
shout out Bo Nickel. What?
Just you realizing the date.
Yeah, realizing what day is today. So exciting stuff there. Good luck to Bo. Good job, Jesse Delgado. Who does he fight with? What is this?
Some random organization.
Random fighting club.
It was just something small. I don't even know the name. I saw it on Instagram, and that was it.
Well, we'll try to know where Jesse Delgado fought tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday. We get tacos on Wednesday. That's exciting. But guess what? I got to order tacos Thursday too.
Yes.
Hey, you text me what kind of tacos you like, so I know what kind to order. Okay.
Steak and chicken.
Steak and chicken taco.
Okay. Chicken. Whatever.
Chicken breakfast taco. All right. Well, this is gonna warrant a follow up conversation.
Keep sending in those voicemails.
I like meat. I want protein.
Voicemails and email submissions. It'll be in the link or in the description.
All right. Thanks so much. See you tomorrow. Goodbye.